Today we conclude a sermon series we've been moving through in the season of Lent on the Jesus we have known. This morning we will encounter the Jesus we have known as Victor. As we prepare to hear God's word read and proclaimed, let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy One, you come to us with power beyond all knowing. You lift all things out of the dust. You breathe love into every cell and life into every being. As you claim victory over death, roll away the stone from our hearts that we may stake our lives and our future on the unimaginable that you have begun. Amen. This morning we will be reading the story of the resurrection of Jesus as the Gospel of Matthew tells it. I invite you to listen now for God's word to you as it comes to us from Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As Matthew tells it, the resurrection of Jesus has all the makings of an elaborate April Fool's joke. The first glimmers of daylight dawn on the horizon of grief and despair as two women approach the tomb, and the earth begins to rattle. Like a drum roll, at first gradually, almost imperceptibly, then stronger, so they catch each other's hands and stand still to keep from falling. With a crescendo of rumbling, small stones begin to fall away from the mound of earth and rock blocking the entrance to Jesus' tomb. They hold their breath as if they could stop it. But still the women feel the ground beneath them lurch and roll as if the earth itself is alive. Tree branches quiver, water trembles in the puddles around them, and tiny cracks open in the one large stone that seals the tomb, in the stone that seals their grief-stricken hearts as well. By the time the angel shows up, the earth has settled, and they watch with wide-eyed wonder as the angel rolls away the giant stone and sits on it as if to say, "Well, so much for that." In my imagination, I picture the angel laughing at the sight of the guards, the soldiers who were supposed to make sure the dead man stayed in the grave, who shake and quake as good as dead themselves, just lying there all splayed out all over the ground. By then, Jesus is long gone, and there's no body in sight. Is this a cruel joke? They must have wondered. Through the voice of the angel, the women hear the words, "Do not be afraid. He is not here. He has been raised." It must have sounded garbled at first, as if they'd been plunged into a dark underwater place like a dream, where the detritus of the past nightmarish days, the residue of guilt and betrayal, floats in their minds and then reassembles in this earth-shattering, life-rattling, heart-splitting, impossible message. Do not be afraid. He is not here. He has been raised. Like a dream. Until they woke and ran with it. Was it reckless of them? Maybe. How did they know it was true? The evidence was circumstantial. Maybe it was a hoax or a grand deception. Would anyone believe them? Or would they be dismissed as the bearers of fake news? Reckless or not, foolish or not, dreamers or not, the women risk it all when they leave the cemetery. When they walk away from the world they've always known, the one where the forces that took Jesus from them win the day, and run with the rumor that sounds at this moment unimaginable. There's a hauntingly beautiful song in the hit musical Hamilton, sung about Alexander Hamilton and his wife Eliza after their son has died in a duel. There are moments that the words don't reach. There is suffering too terrible to name. We push away what we can never understand. We push away the unimaginable. The song, a poignant tribute to unspeakable pain, ends on a note of forgiveness. Along the way, though, is the question of what they do with the unimaginable. Do they learn to live with it, or work through it, or push it away? I'm sure each of us has our own memories of things that have happened over the course of our lifetime that were to us unimaginable. When we felt the bedrock of something important to us shaken, and the tectonic plates that held life together as we knew it shifted, and we felt the fear in the pit of our stomach that told us, from now on, nothing will be the same. What do you do with the unimaginable? Do you learn to live with it, work through it, or push it away? The experience of the women at Christ's empty tomb gives us another choice. That we play the fool and run with it. That we stake our lives and our future on the unimaginable initiated by the Jesus we know today as Victor. With nothing more than a rumor of resurrection, the women run with fear and great joy, and that's when the risen Christ meets them. Ta-da! And at that moment, for them, everything Jesus lived and died for is vindicated. It's like an earthquake all over again as the ground of the life they have known heaves and resurrection becomes the new bedrock on which they will move into the future. It has all the makings of an April Fool's joke, and they are just foolish enough to go ahead and tell it in a world that knows only the triumph of death, not the victory of life. Foolish enough to live with audacity, wonder, and gratitude for the too good to be trueness of what the hand of God can do. Foolish enough with their voices and their choices to put the powers that be on notice that the victory of resurrection portends the demise of any death-dealing, life-diminishing, God-forsaking defender of the kingdoms of this world. Foolish enough to deliver the punchline that is not April Fool, but Christ is risen. Are we? Before we can risk running with the rumor of resurrection, before we can stake our lives and our future on the unimaginable initiated by the Jesus we know as Victor, we're going to have to release some fear. And Matthew's telling of the Easter story gives us all the permission we need to go ahead and shake with the women as we feel the earth move beneath our feet, and laugh with the angel at Rome's guards who are a joke. To go ahead and run with the rumor of resurrection, heart pounding and lungs gasping, until the risen Christ meets us right where we are. Do not be afraid, he says. Go ahead and hear it with the confidence of those who no longer fear the sting of death. Hear it with the courage of those who no longer fear the power of any who think they can stand in the way of the kingdom of heaven Jesus lived and died to bring into this world. Hear it with those who won't settle for defeat and despair now that an uprising of hope has begun. Life begins again with the women and us as we return to Galilee, back to the people we know who are stuck in their own versions of the unimaginable. Back to the place where the Jesus we have known as Redeemer atones for sin and germinates a following defined by nonviolence, redemptive suffering. Where the Jesus we have known as Healer does not separate our bodies from our spirits, but heals and forgives the whole of us. Where the Jesus we have known as Reformer calls forth the salt and light in us to change the world. Where the Jesus we have known as Reconciler saves us from the illusion of our divisions and beckons us to build bridges as one tribe, one family of God. Where the Jesus we have known as Creator invites us into the dance of a new creation. Where the Jesus known as Liberator breaks the chains of bondage to all the forces that hold us in captivity, freedom is coming. Where the Jesus we met at the table teaches the humble service of the basin and the towel. Where the Jesus who hung on a cross sends us to the forsaken and left behind. Where new life begins again because the empty tomb changes everything. In the Jesus we have known as Victor, our worst fears have been put to rest. Now we can stake our lives and our future on the unimaginable victory that has begun. Friends, there's more to Jesus than we can ever know. The risen Christ has promised to meet us here and to lead us into new life. One Lenten Sunday years ago, I gave the congregation seeds, and in a worship service, we made a ritual act out of dropping them into pots of soil, symbolizing the surrender of Christ's life and ours. The pots sat in a cold, dark sanctuary for the rest of Lent. On Maundy Thursday, as I prepared the sanctuary for Easter weekend, I glanced at the pots and saw this. No one had watered these seeds. There had been no tending of them, no light or heat. But nothing could hold back the life in them. Nothing could keep them from bursting through the cold, dark soil, reaching for life and light. I wonder if the same could be true for you and for me today. Could the resurrection of Jesus be the thing that defeats your fear so that nothing can hold back the life that's emerging within you and among us? Could this be the uprising of hope we need to stake our future on the unimaginable victory that has begun? Hallelujah! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.